Recording. Hey folks, welcome to the September 14th, 2022 Aries Working Group call. I am your substitute host, Lance Bird. I work with a development group called Roots ID, and I'm happy to be hosting today. Basically, the Hyperledger forum is happening right now in Dublin. I think today is the last day. Most of our normal hosts are in Dublin and busy, and so I get to be your substitute host for today. I have to remind everyone about the antitrust policy for Hyperledger and also the Hyperledger Code of Conduct, and please feel free to add yourself to the attendees list if you'd like. Let me post the link again for today's meeting, actually. I guess I already had the link in there, but I'll post it again. Okay, and we were just talking about kind of the state of the union for Aries in general. So I added that as a future topic. We'll touch on it today as best we can as a group, but since it's a more limited group than normal, we might not be able to do the best there. So we've added that as a future topic. Maybe that could just be, you know, a really nice, you know, kickoff for one of the other meetings, and people can plan to be there for that. Is there anything else we'd like to add to the agenda? I filled in a few things based on our last meeting and also some things that came up during the week. Is there anything else that someone would like to add? Okay. Well, we'll give a shout during this. Hopefully this is very discussive because again, I'm a bit of a substitute teacher. So really this is more of a group meeting than a led meeting, I guess. And I'm pretty easy. And we'll just go through real quick just to see who we do have here. Feel free to add yourself to the attendees. I posted the link in the chat for today's wiki. Hyperledger's happening. The Hyperledger Global Forum is happening right now. In fact, I was just looking. I think that Timo and friends at Animo hosted a session today, but it's already occurred. Let's see. Yeah, that was this one, which was... workshop, how to build a self-sovereign identity agent with Hyperledger Aries framework JavaScript. So that's very cool. The Hyperledger Aries framework, the Hyperledger Aries JavaScript meeting working group is a weekly meeting as well. That's tomorrow. And yeah, hopefully that went well. We'll look forward to hearing from people when they return. So we'll probably get a whole debrief next week, which would be great. There's a bunch of other meetings that are occurring as well in conjunction, Linux Foundation meetings and other things like that. So they're taking advantage of a lot of people descending on Dublin. Rebooting Web of Trust is later this September coming up. So we have several people participating in that. All right, let's go through the status and work updates for the different projects. Aries Agent Test Harness. Do we have anybody here who wants to give an update on that? I'm happy to kind of do an introduction of what I know if we don't have any updates. Okay, so Warren had asked about the State of the Union for each of these. Warren, feel free to stop me if you might even know more than I do. I recently attended the Interopathon for the Aries Interopathon, and that was really cool. And the Aries Agent Test Harness is essentially the centerpiece software for measurement of how the different agents and wallets interop, essentially, and you can get a score from it. So that the it is, I think that Interopathon was the first one that we had done. And I attended it as an observer, so not a presenter. And I was more focused on like the mobile side of it. So there's two sessions for that. One showing how you could kind of automate the traversal of a mobile wallet and have it, you know, make certain selections to follow a script to essentially test. Then there was another one that's literally having a mobile be able to run through a few of the designated tests for the Aries agent test harness. And so that was really cool. It's a subset for mobile. It's a much larger set for like, you know, the cloud agents like Akapai. And yeah, so various success on that. And I thought it was a really cool event. And I do think it kind of marks why Aries as a group is probably ahead of maybe most other communities in terms of working towards interop. It's quite a process. They use these Aries interop profiles. Currently 2.0 is the one that most are working towards. And that essentially specifies the set of RFCs, the Aries RFCs that a particular agent would have to be able to interop with in order to, you know, be able to declare that they are AIP 2.0 compliant. So a very cool process. We want to say anything else about that? Okay. I'm just going to post our link one more time in case somebody came in. Okay, then let's see. Aries shared components, Indie SDK replacements. Essentially, what's going on there, for those who don't know, is Aries and Indie were super tightly coupled in the past. The reason that the Aries group was created was to start modularizing the portions that are not Indie Ledger specific. But the Indie SDK still is like a foundational piece of a lot of the software. But eventually we want to take all of the constituent parts of the Indie SDK and have it broken down into, you know, storage and encryption. So Aries Asgard in that case, and other parts, so that, for instance, the Aries framework JavaScript isn't even dependent on the Indie SDK anymore if you're not doing anything. I'm sorry, isn't dependent, hopefully I said that right, on the Indie SDK anymore. For instance, I don't work with Indie Ledgers at all, actually, but I'm super interested in Aries for the self-sovereign identity software that I'm building. So that is an ongoing effort. Here are some links for that. I don't know the status of any of most of these, but we're happy to hear from anybody that might know. Okay, no worries.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I believe that Asgard is fully integrated into Akapai as an option, but I'm not aware of how it might be used in or not used in other projects.
That makes sense. Yeah, Stephen Curran certainly has been an advocate for Aries Asgard. When I had asked about, you know, months ago when I was kind of more new, asking about kind of different pluggable storage and things like that. And so he directed me to Aries Asgard. So I'm not surprised that the Akapai side is far along in that aspect. I definitely see lots of traffic on the AFJ side as well in the forums and things about leveraging Aries Asgard. So I know that that's an ongoing effort. I just don't know, you know, how close it is.
It is actually now the recommended plugin for Akapai. And if you look at some of the there's some threads, there's been some performance testing done, quite significant performance testing, and Asgard significantly outperforms the Indie implementation right now. So there's some really good data out there you can look at.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Yeah, that's a good reminder, because Stephen Kern, when he posted about Ares Asgard, when I was asking questions about it, he did post a link to some of the performance metrics, and you know, it wasn't even close. Essentially, Ares Asgard was by far more performant. So I don't know all the details, but yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, for AFJ, we have been working on the wrappers for JavaScript since some months right now, so that they are almost finished, I would say, for the three components, for in the VTR, in the Credex, and NASCAR. And what is missing at this moment are the interfaces for AFJ to access those wrappers, right? So I don't think we are so far away from that integration. Let's hope that in the incoming weeks or maybe a few months, we will be able to integrate this new stack on the AFJ.
Awesome.
At least that's the goal of several participants of this, like you and ourselves as well, and the Animo people are also interested on that, because right now they are working on some demos to use AFJ with other ledger than Indies, like the one from Checked. So I think that will be a priority for the community in the incoming weeks.
Yeah, very good. Very exciting. I was just in a meeting the other day where I was talking about what Timo had mentioned for their integration with Checked, and just, you know, that it's exciting time for AFJH to be transitioning in a way that I guess I'm very encouraged that because, you know, they admitted that you know, there's a lot of kind of connective, maybe hacky code in order to, you know, to make the full implementation, but we know that the work that Animo does is really excellent. So by going through that process in order to integrate Checked, it gives me hope that the AFJ framework will be evolving quickly and really helpfully towards being able to integrate other ledgers. So for instance, RootsID would want to integrate the Cardano ledger. So yeah, it's really exciting. Thanks, Ariel. Okay, so yeah, Akapai, do we have anyone who wants to give updates? Okay. Certainly.
Last I knew, they had were starting to drive towards a release candidate. So for a 1.0, the current released software is 0.7.4. It's not ready to release a release candidate yet, but they're driving towards that, and I think have the intention of getting a 1.0 out this year.
Along with that, I'll go ahead and mention that while it is going towards 1.0, the state of the main branch is a bit less stable than in the past, since we haven't been doing or going for a more major release. So there are some potentially breaking changes in main that are trying to be worked out.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you. Any other updates for Akapai?
I just have a question, whether that the 1.0 will incorporate all of the AIP 2.0 specifications.
I haven't been to the Akapai or the ACAPUG meetings in a while, but I believe that was the goal, is for AIPv2 compliance.
Excellent. Yeah, that, I mean, it makes sense, right? So but we, yeah, certainly something we could ask Steven and friends. So good. Excellent. How about AFJ? We heard a little bit from Ariel about the Ares Asgard work. Let's see, it says version 0.2.3 released and working on 0.3.0. Does anybody have an update of
Yeah. We have released the 0.4 yesterday.
Wow.
It's a very minor minor release, but it includes some minor fixes and also the support for the action menu protocol. And also, 0.2.4.
Oh, thank you. Wow, this is news to me.
No, and as for the 0.3.0 release, we are actively working on it. There have been some progress. The idea we have is to add for the 0.3.0 a kind of basic support for AIPv2. So we recently we have added the Discover Features V2 protocol that it was one of the missing protocols for the support. And we are working on the DID key support for all the protocols so we can finally have a complete full set of features for the base AIP support, AIP 2.0 support. So I think it will be very fun in the incoming weeks to do some integration testing with the AKAPI. So we will see how it works, both of them by changing this AIP 2.0 support.
And Ariel, do you know, so would that mostly be via the test harness itself or?
Yeah, well, I think it will be very nice to once we have the 0.3.0 released, hopefully in a few weeks or so, to update this this suit and the harness to support on AFJ all these latest features.
This did remind me. So one of the things that created like sort of the apparent instability of AKAPI was a change to some of the mediation code where we switched from the old routing keys to using the DID key standard for routing keys. I do believe there's topic discussion there, but that is a heads up as AFJ works with AKAPI for mediation.
Exactly. Yes, that's quite complicated to, because this DID key for the formatting really needs to both parts to be consistent on how they send them right. So yeah, right now what we are doing is to add a flag to support both ways of formatting the keys, so we can have compatibility with older agents and also with the new ones for all the protocols, not only for the mediation but also for the pickup protocol that is also using that in the V2, right? We are not currently sending any key, but in the pickup V2, you can theoretically you can filter the messages by the recipient key. So in that case, that also needs to be supported on the mediator side.
Yeah, very good. That sounds all right. Anything else on Ares Framework JavaScript? AFJ, okay. Anyone for Aries Framework Go? How about for VCX? Or .NET? Okay, how about on the mobile side? Updates for Aries Mobile Agent, React Native, Aries Bifold?
Unfortunately, it's more like for probably, I guess I'll comment on briefly is that if it's awareness that BCGov has released a version of Bifold Wallet for the BC Wallet in the Play Store. And I'm sure it's something they would be announcing if they were on the call, but if anyone wants to go to the Play Store, you can download it. Yep.
It's Jason here, so I'm from BC.
Oh, awesome. Sorry, I thought you guys were all out. Sorry, Jason, for stealing your thunder. Apologize.
Yeah, no worries. So what Tim said, yeah, we've released a version of the Bifold. So we rebranded it to look like BC Blue and our BC theme and some BC text, not the kind of Xbox Black theme of Bifold. And I think we released it about 2 weeks ago. It's a bit of a, you know, stealth release just so we could do some demos at the conference and get something out there. We're not widely broadcasting it because it's a little grumpy sometimes in some areas, but we're happily doing agile where we're fixing them quickly in the background and releasing as frequently as we can. So yeah, that was a huge success for us. And I think a huge success for AFJ. And that's all I've got to say on the subject. Thanks.
Congratulations. What's the name of the application if we wanted to try it?
In both app stores, it's just called BC Wallet.
BC Wallet.
Not to be confused with one in the Google store, which BC represents Bitcoin. So Bitcoin Wallet, but it's an unfortunate mix up. But yeah, we're the BC Wallet because we're in the province of British Columbia.
Perfect. Thanks.
And just, you know, I had never really thought of it, but, you know, it's themed, et cetera, for BCGov, but essentially could anyone use it, you know, for their identity wallet?
Yeah, there's nothing specific to BC really about the wallet. You can just grab it and use it or give it a try if you actually want to see what Bifold, you know, kind of check out the look and feel and how it behaves because it's mostly default behavior. We are a couple of months ago now, I think we converted Bifold to be a bit more of a framework so you could easily override components and get your own look and feel in it. For example, the onboarding screens, which are some tutorial material. You know, we've changed that drastically from what Bifold does. And we're also implementing some custom logic for a foundational credential. Like here in BC, we've got another app with some pretty good verification around who's got that installed and who you are if you're using it. So we want to tie those together to make sure that we can get a foundational credential into your wallet that we're pretty certain it's you behind it. So again, that's some customization and overriding, but most people won't see that just yet. That's going to be our first official big credential when we are ready to push that out.
Very good. Okay, anything else on the Aries Mobile Agent side? Okay. How about Aries Max? Okay, how about Aries Mediator Service? Did come Mediator in a box? I'm not sure I've heard a lot said on this, but certainly super important. Since I'm mobile focused. Okay.
I'm not sure how much goes on, at least on the mediator service level. I think most of the work that ends up going on that impacts that is really in Akapai, since that's what it uses.
Right now, we're working on adding pickup plugin support for the mediator.
Yeah, very good.
I don't know what that means. Maybe that's too expansive a topic, but what is pickup support?
I believe it's the pickup protocol support. Previously, you could just send a message, an implicit message, to receive the mediation messages. I believe the pickup support allows you to query how many messages are waiting for you and then retrieve them specifically.
Yeah, that's I did want to show kind of the DIDCOM protocol list in a little bit. So pickup is one of the protocols on that list. So yeah, maybe we can, you know, maybe I'll just do that now since it's a good segue. Yeah, so here at didcom.org, you can see like a list of protocols. Not to get too involved on the DIDCOM talk, but the like, for instance, pickup protocol, I think is gonna be listed here. Yep. Let's see, I think a newer version, 3.0. So a protocol to facilitate an agent picking up messages held at a mediator. So, you know, it applies very specifically, right, for mediation. And you can basically get more details for how the protocol works. And so this is a super useful page that I think is going to be growing a lot over the next, you know, few months. It's already just getting going. You can see in the last 2 months, a year ago, 4 months ago. Yeah, so lots of activity in this space, especially since the DIDCOM V2 protocol was recommended by DIF, or I'm not sure what the W3C recommends things. I'm not sure what DIF says approved, maybe DIF approved, we'll say. So yeah, you'll see a lot of these protocols getting built up on top of DIDCOM. DIDCOM's kind of got a base layer messaging protocol, but then you can build all these more application specific protocols on top. And I think Timo in one of our meetings, it might have been an AFJ meeting, was talking about the tiny URL protocol that he built as well, for essentially have a URL, it's long, you want to be able to show it, for instance, in a QR code, so you want it as small as possible. There's a protocol to essentially request the tiny URL portion of that, which is super helpful for like mobile applications, because big QR codes are pretty devastating. So yeah, does that kind of frame anything? Does anybody else want to say things about DIDCOM protocols or pickup protocol?
I do believe. Oh, go ahead.
That is. I think it's like Kim said. It's the pickup protocol allows a mediatee or a recipient to retrieve messages in a selective way from the mediator or actually any other agent that could have queued messages for it, because actually you can use the pickup protocol for interactions with any other agent. Like, for instance, if you have a mobile agent that does not have any public endpoint, maybe you can interact with another agent that will keep messages for you, but that you can ask when you connect, right? So maybe that's what they meant on the mediator service, because the Aries mediator service is based on ACAPI, and as I know, previously ACAPI didn't support the pickup protocol. And now
And from my understanding, based on things I've overheard as people have been working on it, previously, before the pickup plugin was a thing, if a mobile agent were to hit the mediator would just send everything it had, or, you know, even maybe just last message, I don't remember the exact specific details, but essentially you would have a lot of messages that could get lost because they weren't getting queued and sent when the mobile agent was ready for all those messages.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. With this protocol, you can limit the amount of messages you want to pick up at once, and also to you can also specify the recipient key, the routing key you want to filter. So yeah, as Colton says, it may become important in production, in some production ready applications, mobile applications especially.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's I had Rodolfo from Roots ID had to kind of school me on the DIDCOM. I was very excited about it, and I felt like I was learning a lot about it, but I wasn't really capturing the fact that DIDCOM has kind of this base messaging protocol, but that, you know, all of these other protocols will be built on top, and you'll compose them for your application, right? For all the protocols that your application will need in order to function. It's essentially how then we'll build even maybe more complex protocols that are has some subset of these DIDCOM protocols. So it's I think it's very exciting. I think we're going to see a lot of activity in that area for building up these DIDCOM protocols, and there's going to be a lot of power in being able to build composable SSI applications as these implementations roll out. So it's really exciting. Anything else on that? Mediation, DIDCOM, pickup. Okay. Let's see. How about indie endorser in a box under development? The Aries endorser server, I guess, is what we're calling it.
Most of the commits that I've been getting emails about on that project, I believe, have either been Timo or Ian. I haven't seen much else from anybody else.
Okay. Well, we'll try to hear from them when they're available next time. All right, Aries Toolbox. Aries SDK Java. Or Ursa. Okay. That was pretty good, Warren. Maybe we'll do more in the future. Maybe like a more official thing, but I learned some things. That's great. Let's see. Shivam Sethi, is he here today? He wanted to touch on multiple SIGs on a credential, but that was last week, and I'm not sure I see him now. So wanted to give him a shot if he wanted to talk about it. If anybody else is aware of what he wanted to discuss, we could do that too. Maybe there's been a thread during the week that I didn't see.
Or maybe he's on the forum this week, I don't know.
Yeah. I'll just push it to a future topic and we'll see if we get to it. Okay. Great. Let's see. I put on the discussion topics action menu because that's been mentioned. And I see someone's adding some for non-creds. So is there anything on action menu that we want to talk about? It sounds like it was mentioned for AFJ. Ariel mentioned it. Action menu is another one of these protocols here. You can actually see it on the list for DIDCOM. And it's essentially allowing an agent to present a hierarchical menu. So you could imagine, you have some generic, let's say a mobile agent that's, presenting, you get a message that wants to ask a form, for instance, for input from the user. And so this is a protocol for being able to specify what that form might present for the user. So is there anything else we want to say on that?
All right, just a quick note that it's supported already in ACAPI. So this is
great.
If you want to play with it now, you have both ends. I mean, on a mobile. So it's kind of interesting that way.
Yeah.
Before it really wasn't a mobile. Maybe there was others. Maybe I wasn't aware, but it wasn't an easy way to do something on the mobile side.
Okay. Excellent. Hopefully, we start seeing. And maybe we already have. If people know of demos of these things that are out there, I would certainly love to see them. It relates directly to the work that I'm doing, and I want to come up to speed on it, and certainly participate. So,
is the support for that being mentioned for mobile in Bifold?
Yeah, good question.
I'm not aware of any. I think it's just an AFJ, has not been as far as. And I don't know, Jason, if you've seen anything. I'm pretty sure it's not in Bifold yet.
Yeah, no. It's not just because we released it yesterday, so I don't think Bifold thing has already taken it. I think they are using the 0.2.2, I think. I don't know, Jason.
Well. If I understand this document that we're looking at right now, it's Aries framework JavaScript 0.2.0 got merged into Bifold.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I do think that's a little bit old. So they.
Okay.
I do believe they've gone to later versions now, or at least working on it. I don't think we heard on this, and I didn't update it. I kind of wanted to. So if anyone knows. What the current version is, I'll happily update it. Okay. Well, good to be aware of. There'll be more discussion on it. I do have a link for the work that Baron from Animo was doing for their demo wallet. So that might be something you want to take a look at. I do think that they're wanting to show action menu. And I do think they did a presentation in Dublin related to that this weekend, this week. So that's cool. All right. Anything else on that before I move on? Anon creds, this conversation might get deep. We'll see. So. Okay, let's do it. So Anon creds, there were some interesting discussions going on during the week. I think on purpose, there was a post that, stirred things up, which is always great because that helps for me to think about it. There's things that I'm not even aware of. And so Daniel Hartman had a post where he touched on some of the aspects of Anon creds that he felt was most important to kind of clear the concepts up and things like that. So this is a good chance if anybody wants to talk about these things, and I would love to learn from it. See, someone added the Northern Blocks post and Indicio's post. So great, more reading material for that too.
Should we be putting on the posts are in response to initial post from Identity Woman, Kayla, that should we put that on here? I mean, it's a structured dialogue that's probably quite healthy in the long term. So
yeah, I totally agree. I'm the one who posted the other two. I'll add our link to as well. I'll do that.
So everyone has the context. Thanks.
Yeah. I do.
That's great. And in Identity Woman's post, I loved it that at the end she said, hey, I'm posting this right before, a Hyperledger forum in Dublin, and let's talk about it. So, it's a bit of a lightning rod that helps, rally people to have something to discuss. So, I do think it's healthy.
And I just went and poked through Bifold, and it does look like in their main branch, they are using 2.2.
Great. Thank you. So I don't know how much we might want to discuss Anon Creds. I am not well versed in Anon Creds, so I'm actually the you know, I was aware of it, and certainly Roots ID has done work with it. Personally, I haven't been in it as involved with that side of verifiable credentials. So I just am opening it up for anyone who wants to discuss, talk about these posts, or talk about Anon Creds in general, even just some history on them would be fine as well. Or we could just have some links here and that gives people some reading material. That's fine too.
I would appreciate a 30,000 foot view overview, a broad overview of Anon Creds.
You won't get it from me. I'm too new. Anybody want to take a shot?
I'm no longer muted, but I'm being quiet because this is a really, it should be an easy thing to answer, and it's not. And I think the links to the articles we just posted kind of illustrate that, which is even trying to explain what Anon Creds is a bit of a minefield. It shouldn't be, but it is. I think we're a combination of data models, protocols, implementation frameworks, ledgers, and things start getting mixed up pretty quickly. So Anon Creds, I don't know. Anon Creds is really the type of verifiable, I'm going to try, okay, don't judge me, is a type of verifiable credentials that initially came from the Indie project and are very much part of Ares. Although it's important to understand that Ares itself is not tied to Anon Creds, it's just a type of credential that you can use using Ares agents and the Ares frameworks. And the work that's been going on recently saying, well, if Anon Creds itself is a valid form of credentials that we know there are valid use cases for it, we really need to bring that up to become a standard, not the same as W3C VC, not necessarily not competing with it, complementing it, but another type of credentials for which there's an existing standard. So one could argue we're doing it backwards. We have the implementation standards and including the test harness, and we have interoperability in place, but we don't have an official standard for those credentials, which can be an obstacle to roll out. But that's kind of what Anon Creds are. It's a type of credentials for which there's already a solution, and we already have interoperable agents, but we don't have a standard yet that officializes and consolidates what this really is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you, Regis. That's very helpful to figure out where to plug this knowledge into broader framework.
That's right.
And if the two of you who are editing that would say would update the page, that would be great so that we can all see it. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I think this, we've seen this pattern many times, right? Within just software industry in general, it sounds like Anon Creds has a longer legacy than maybe the some other of the credential standards that are out there, and well, standards, you know, the other types of credentials that we're used to out there. And so even some of the vocabulary related to Anon Creds can be confusing because they don't quite mean the same thing as if you're from a different credential community. So I thought that was very interesting. Daniel Harmon posted or pointed that out in his post and made some clarification there. So this is expected, right? And so this is why it's healthy, I think, to talk about it so that we can learn and improve across all of the verifiable credential standards and formats and technology.
If it's some healthy debates, I did the link to the Anon Creds specifications that are being worked on at the moment. It also has a nice history and introduction that explains what Anon Creds credentials are. So that's probably some good reference material.
Great. Anything else on Anoncreds that we'd like to say or that we'd like to know? We could even, you know, if we want to do something specific on it or just have it as a future topic in general. Although, let's see, what do we have here? Standardized attribute names for Anoncreds, alignment with VC data model. So yeah, that would certainly be a nice focus, nice discussion to learn from. But no Paul today. Yeah, no Paul today. So it might be good. I certainly will be spending some time to come up to speed on it a little more so that when we do have future discussions, hopefully I can ask smarter questions. Okay. Then we can just open it up to if there's any of these future topics, if there's something, you know, that somebody wants to address now, we can move it up. Otherwise, yeah, we can open it up. I guess we're coming down. We have 8 minutes left. So anything that you'd like to maybe catch us up on your own project or something that you're interested in?
I do want to go ahead and mention that there was an interesting PR that came in, I think, today on the ACAPI front. It was talking about how outbound webhooks were getting a bit on the big side, like 227 kilobytes big in their use case. And so as we move forward, that may be just the amount of data and size that we're sending through things might want to be kept in mind.
If you find the link for that and put it in the chat, I'll be happy to add it to the document, or feel free to edit the document. I've heard different conversations about data size issues all through the SSI stack. So that could be probably a whole nice meeting or a few meetings where we talk about the different pain points and even possibilities of sharding data and all kinds of things. So that could be really fun. Thanks for posting that. I'll put it in here.
There was also a post from Trinseek. I don't know if you have seen. I don't see it mentioned regarding in response of the of Kalia post. I will send the link.
Very good. Okay.
When I find the chat window that I don't. it's very tricky here.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting because I wasn't aware exactly about what they were doing in terms of technology, but that explained to me a lot about why these Aries framework.net and also the Xamarin, the Max, have not been so much updated lately. Yeah, and it's because they are leaving, in somehow, leaving these areas development to go to something that is more, I won't say proprietary, but it's out of this group, let's say. So they are using a stack that is compatible with all these VC standards and so on, but it seems like they moved away from this community, let's say, because of some of the problems that were highlighted by Kalia in her post. I don't know if somebody has read this text and can comment about it. or know about the Trinsic strategy, because Trinsic is a big player here, right? So it's interesting to it sort of surprised me and also somehow worried me a bit when I read it.
Interesting. Yeah, I have not been as almost at all involved on the .NET side, and I didn't really know anything about Ares Max either. And so, yeah, I'd be fascinated to learn more. And if people know some of the background, I'd love to hear it. I was really hoping somebody would, you know, I feel like there's more knowledge here about it than maybe people want to share, and that's fine.
I mean, I think, to be honest, this topic is going to come back. I think there's a lot of people traveling this week to Dublin. There's been a lot of posts, a lot of reaction, a lot of conversations. I'm sure there's a lot of conversations happening, hopefully offline in a pub somewhere in Dublin as well. So I think we'll talk some more about this thing. We probably all need time to digest this. I think there are valid points being raised. And there's also misinformation, miscommunication. And I think those are healthy conversations. We know we all have to work together. There's not going to be just one standard, and we just have to find the right path. I think we also have to acknowledge that it creates some uncertainty for people that are playing Rollout, whether they're public or private organizations, and they have to try to commit or at least select some technology and standards and make things harder. I think we have to be aware of that. So yeah, I think we'll talk some more about this. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. And thanks for sharing that post for Trinsic. I had missed that one as well. So I think we will have some reading to do.
Yeah.
I think, great points. I think my reading of the original post, I think the thing that I found that reached out to me as something to understand more about is the claims about performance, particularly on Indy, and the scalability of the network. And so I would certainly like to understand that better and wonder whether that is some of the motivation within our community for getting a non-creds working on other ledgers like Fabric. You know, is that one of the primary motivations? And I just don't know. I found that very interesting.
I think actually that's probably one of the weakest parts of our paper is on performance. I don't know where that data is coming from. Personally, we've done, where I work, we have done significant performance testing. When you issue credentials, it's not a ledger transaction. So I don't understand that part of the document. I'm hoping that'll be clarified. But the idea, I mean, non-creds are not tied to Ares, and they came out of Indy. But if you look at the OIDC work, you'll see they listed non-creds as well. So I think it's just a movement that non-creds being ledger agnostic, and others probably better than I can, but is more about just bringing non-creds up to a first order credential and not saying it's specific, it's locked into Indy or something from the past. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair enough. Thank you everybody for your contributions. It would have been a very short meeting if I had been the only one talking. So this has been great. I will post the recordings, et cetera. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Lance.
Thank you. See you.
Thank you. Have a good week.